Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning of verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What an amazing prayer Paul puts before God on behalf of these believers at Ephesians. A couple of weeks ago when we began this text, when I was scribbling in my notes, I was really taken by this prayer to the point that I felt greatly intimidated. I'm always intimidated when I stand to preach the Word of God, for who is sufficient to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why God would use such vessels as frail man to preach his word, I know not. But I do know that there's divine truths in this prayer that are essential for us here today at Birkett Baptist Church. And through my reading and preparation this week, I ran across something Martin Lloyd-Jones said concerning this prayer. And he said, I quote, "I confess I approach this great matter with fear and trembling. And it is quite evident in their writing that all who have endeavored to deal with it and to expound it have been conscious of the same inadequacy. What we are about to look into is something which is so glorious and endless that it will be the theme of contemplation of all the saints, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We shall spend our eternity in gazing upon it and wondering at it and being astounded by it." End of quote. Let me begin this morning by asking all of us this simple question. How would we rate our love for Christ? Is it just seasonable? Are there flashes of it throughout the week? Are there moments when we're overwhelmed by the things of Christ? Do they come and go like the wind? Or how often do we, in a week's time, contemplate the great love of Christ? Paul here prays a request for the believers at Philippians or Ephesians that something they knew little of, but he wanted them to know more of it. You see, they already had love in their hearts. Paul commended them in chapter 1 for loving all the saints. Yet in this prayer, Paul says there's something more about Christ, something much more about Christ that you have yet to learn. Paul called it in the same chapter the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is so much about Christ and the love of Christ that we know so little of. And yet we live in a generation today that I believe is unimpressed by such great love. A generation which never takes time or takes so little time contemplating the things of Christ. I believe this is such a great matter that Paul purposely expresses his manner of prayer. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as though he's urgently saying, this is something of urgent need for the believer. Something that you're not used to practicing, something that you know very little of, but I pray that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant you. How much in our daily lives do we actually see Christ? Do we see him in the sun up in the morning when we go to work, and the sunset when we close the day? Do we hear him in creation? Not having to always go to the rock, but do we hear him in creation? How often do we contemplate and think about the great love of Christ? Many there be today, as in every generation, who place the greater emphasis on the intellect, the knowledge of Christ alone, while ignoring the heart. Don't misunderstand me, but when we sing those great hymns, like this morning, does it move us to worship and adore Christ even more, to long more for him? What do we know about the love of Christ in our own hearts? You know, Paul would pray even in chapter 1, verse 17, that God would give the believers at Ephesus the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. So wisdom and revelation and knowledge is essential. He said, I pray that your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. So he understands the importance of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the intellect. We have to know what we believe. There's a place for that in Christianity. But where does all of that lead? Does it lead to a greater love for Christ? For Paul prays here in this prayer that it's in the heart that Christ must dwell by faith. And what greater evidence of Christ dwelling in our hearts than that of love? Listen how he says this in chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, you see the evidence, the manifestation of Christ dwelling in our hearts? How could we not know what love is when Christ dwells in our hearts? He's a God of love. And everything we know and understand about Christ, all the knowledge we have about God, you know what diffuses from that knowledge? Love. What is that which drove God to send his son into this world? To not spare him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I'm getting ahead of myself, but do you know love is the strongest part of our Christianity? That is the very strength of our Christianity. What is the great commandment? Our Lord was asked. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. What is the great commandment? What is the great, not greatest, but what is the great? Love the Lord thy God. Paul knew these believers were in no way behind in the things of Christ. He said they had faith in Christ, they trusted Christ, they loved all the saints. But he says, you don't understand, you haven't even scratched the surface of the unsearchable riches of Christ. When I look around today, and I spoke to a few brethren last week, it's as though Christians are content with just being superficial. They're content with what they have. There's very little signs of eagerness and fervency and excitement for Christ. Oftentimes, the last few weeks, I've looked at the world, the things going on in the world, and what I hear in many churches, and it seems as though they're dead men's bones of Ezekiel. I want to fall on my face and pray and ask God that the Spirit would blow upon those bones, that they might become flesh. That God's people would get excited about Christ again. Fall in love with Him again. Like they did at one time. It all begins with Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And all of this prayer request, like I've said before, is founded on Paul saying at first, let them be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, because all these things I'm fixing to ask on their behalf are things that they'll never be able to understand, comprehend, or bear without the Spirit strengthening their heart and soul. That Christ dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may with all the saints comprehend with our be able to comprehend with all the saints, be able to comprehend with all the saints. It all begins with Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. Oh, that Christ might truly dwell in our hearts by faith, not just seasonally, but His presence ever be aware of, sought and longed for. When you rise up in the morning before you leave the house to go on your daily business, do we fall on our knees before God and beseech Christ that He would renew our relationship and help us through the day, that we might be reminded of Him and His greatness and of His love? You know what I found over the last 40 years as being a Christian? Don't misunderstand this. I'm not talking about working for salvation. But to keep ourselves in the love of God is a very difficult and trying thing to do. You know why? Because of this wicked thing right here. And of this wandering thing right here. And all the lust and temptations out there. And our adversary, the devil, out there. It's a hard work to keep ourselves in the love of God. We can't do it without Christ, but it's a work we must be at. Like I've said before, John Flavel, the hardest thing to convert before salvation is the heart. The hardest thing to keep after salvation is the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But it's a labor well worth its rewards. But where Christ dwells, listen to me and Paul, where Christ dwells, true love for Christ and His people will always be greatly manifested. I mean, that is a biblical truth that flows throughout Scripture. If Christ is dwelling in our hearts, truly dwelling in our hearts, the greatest manifestation of that dwelling presence of Christ is our love for Him and the saints. Enabling us, Paul says at the end of this prayer request, enabling us to be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't it amazing that he refers to the fullness of God as being something that comes from Christ dwelling in our hearts, and then us being rooted and grounded in love and knowing the love of Christ? That the love of Christ would be the fullness of God. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. Night or day, sleeping or waking. Oh, that we might love Christ as Paul prays here. That we might know more of Him as Paul beseeches God to grant the believers at Ephesians. I want you to notice, first of all, in our verse 17, Paul doesn't pray that God grant the believers at Ephesus to know love, because he said He knew his love for their love for all the saints. He doesn't pray that they might know love. He does later about knowing the love of Christ. But in verse 17, he doesn't pray that God grant them to know love. Listen to this. He prays that they might be rooted and grounded in love. 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, see, evidence of Christ dwelling in your heart, that ye, what? Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. You see, before we can comprehend the breadth, the height, the length, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, we've got to be rooted and grounded in that love which flows from Christ dwelling in our hearts. Rooted and grounded in it. He uses two words. It can't just merely be a love, a fleeting emotion or sentimentality. It's got to be love that's rooted and grounded. Any believers rest content in a fleeting or brief expressions of Christ's love. That the Apostle Paul would pray that God grant that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. It's almost as though Paul is saying, for this to be rooted and grounded in your heart because of Christ, it takes work, it takes labor, it takes diligence. I believe this is why Paul began this prayer with that first request. God, before they can understand Christ dwelling in their hearts, before they can experience that, before they can be rooted and grounded in love and come to comprehend the breadth, the depth, the height of Christ's love, to be filled with the fullness of God, you've got to give them strength in that inner man. You've got to give them that strength in the inner man. That they might bear such unsearchable riches of Christ. Like I said last week, or asked last week, has there ever been a time in your life when you've been so overwhelmed by the presence of God that your heart felt as though it was going to explode out of your chest? When you prayed, have you ever felt that the presence of God was so real that you thought you were in the very presence of God? And again, I'm not saying this should happen every time we pray, and unfortunately it don't. And I'm not saying that this is something that should happen on a daily basis, but why are we not longing for that? Why are we not beseeching God to grant us that? Why are we content with merely going through the motions? God bless this day. Bless my family. Help me through the day. May you be honored and glorified. Amen. And we get up and scurry along our way and we go through the day and we have no serious contemplations of Christ. Like I said earlier, when Christ is dwelling in our hearts, we see Christ throughout the day. In nature, in creation. We see it when we move and walk amongst others. We're more aware and conscious of what's going on around us. Our actions and our behaviors. So Christ is there, present with us. You remember in the Song of Solomon's when she laid on her bed and was resting and her lover come to the door and knocked. And she said, go away, I'm tired, something to that sense. And he touched the door handle and he moved the door handle. And she said her heart was stirred and she got up and went to the door and he wasn't there. She went out in the streets and started looking for her lover. Asked everyone, have you seen my lover? And they said, what is he better than others? She said, oh, but you don't know. That's the soul that longs for Christ. That's the soul that is satisfied only with him. That's the soul that longs and desires the presence of Christ in every aspect of their life. Love is the strength of all true Christianity. And it's Christ's love which compels and constrains us. Beloved, without such divine love, our Christianity is empty. It's vain and it's powerless. when we come to worship and we sing the songs of Christ, like this morning with a cold and indifferent heart, we do great dishonor to God. It's not easy sometimes preparing our hearts and minds to worship, but we must give it great effort so that we might hear from God, His Word, that it might truly penetrate into our hearts and our minds. You know, in Germany, you're very formal in preaching. Germans are used to that. In fact, it was unusual for me to preach over there because most Germans are so formal they never moved. And sometimes I would get a little excited about what I was preaching, which is, you can't help. Some things just move and stir you. But I'm not against people getting excited about Christ. David, one time, got so excited about Christ, he started dancing and singing in the streets, and his wife got mad at him for doing that. Sometimes when you sing those songs about Christ and the love of Christ and the person of Christ, your heart can do nothing but rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the nail prints in His hand. He'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. If we long not for Christ in this world, what do we look forward to in heaven? You know why we get so wrapped up with the duties of the daily task? We forget Christ. We look at what's going on in the world, especially now. The distractions are great. Politics, COVID-19, joblessness, people unemployed, sickness, uncertainty about the future, and people are getting rattled. You know why we get filled with anxiety and fear as Christians? Is because we take our hearts and our minds off Christ. Do you know when we're rooted and grounded in love, and that's what it means, and I'm going to go quickly through that here in a minute, but rooted and grounded, rooted is like a tree. It's got its roots. You remember Psalm 1? It's like a tree planted by the water. It's firm. It's unmovable. It stands strong. It's got deep roots. It goes deep down. That's where love of Christ, it has to go down in the depths of our hearts, our souls, and our minds. It has to affect every aspect of our being. When that's rooted and grounded, it's foundation like a building. Remember when the Lord says, if you build your house upon sand, it falls, but on a rock, when the storm comes, it won't fall. That's what grounded is. It's firm. It's deep. It's solid. Paul says that's what your love needs to be. If you're ever going to be able to comprehend the breadth, the height, the length, and depth, and know the love of Christ, and be filled with the fullness of God, your love has to be rooted and grounded in Christ. That's not an easy task. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So the true believer understands that aspect. He'll use all means of grace to keep his heart close to Christ. Bible reading, prayer, church on Sunday. He'll use every aspect. Why? Because there's so many oppositions, so many things that tries to steal and rob his emotions, so many things that tries to draw his affections away from Christ. He's aware of that, so he's watching all the time. So Paul said, that's good that you have love unto all saints. That's good that you had faith in Christ and trusted in Christ. That's all good, but you've got to be rooted and grounded in love. He says here in our text that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, comma, may be able to comprehend with all saints. I don't have time to get into a lot of that this morning, but I do want to touch on that. He said that you may be able to comprehend. Comprehend is different than understanding and knowledge. Comprehend something is that you have it settled in your mind. That you can have it settled in your mind. It's fixed in your mind. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints. I like how Paul includes all saints. You don't have to be a theologian to understand this. Paul says all saints. There's not exceptions here. He's not saying only apostles can reach this, only those who are great theologians, those who read a lot of theological books. He said, no, this is something for all saints, every saint. When you're rooted and grounded in love because Christ dwells in your hearts, only then are we able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. There's been a lot of attempts to define verse 18 in different ways. Some think Paul was referring to the temple he speaks of earlier, and that being the temple of the Christian. But in context of Christ's love, I think he's talking about the breadth of it and the length of it and the depth of it and the height of it. And I want to kind of look at those next weeks to kind of show you something. That's why I'm cutting a little bit short now, because it's going to take a little bit longer. But I do want to give you a foretaste of it when he said that all saints, that we may be able with all saints to undercomprehend what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. The breadth reaches all. It's vast. Christ's love reaches all. It doesn't matter who they are and where they are and what country they're at. It reaches all. It has a breadth that man cannot define. It has a length. It began before eternity and it goes all the way into eternity. That's the length of Christ's love. You can't find it. Start walking east and tell me when you begin, start walking west. It'll never happen. You'll always walk east. Same thing with love. There's no length to it. When did it start? He said, you'll know, comprehend the length of it. It started before time began. Oh, if we could just dwell on that for a minute, that before God said, let there be light, God was thinking and contemplating on the salvation of the elect. He had me in his heart and his mind before all time and eternity, and he'll always love me throughout all eternity. It has no length. It has no length. You'll know the length of it, it says. You'll know the depth of it. That's one that I love and enjoy the most. It reaches the lowest, most vilest of all sinners. It has a depth that no man can understand. Let me ask you a question. Maybe jar your memory. You remember where you were at before Christ saved you? You remember where you were at before Christ saved you? The depth of depravity and sin that Christ pulled you out of. The depth. I was thinking this last week, going through Scripture. The people, the kind of people Christ liked to associate with. Blind man, a widow, a woman that had a mite, a crippled man in a tree, a woman caught in adultery. Oh, the love of Christ is so great, and mass and immeasurable. That saved a wretch like me. And the heights. Where is that love of Christ going to take us? What is the end of the love of Christ? But heaven, in the presence of God. Jude says, he shall present us in the presence of the Father with fullness of joy. Man, that's one verse that I have really, really desired to know since I was saved. What that is going to be like. When he presents me to the Father in the fullness of joy. No one has ever seen God and lived. Nobody's ever seen the face of God. We shall see him as he is. You see how Paul now bows his knees because of the greatness of this petition, and how he prays, God, strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man, because these are truths that normal human man cannot bear without being strengthened in the inner man to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That's a paradox, isn't it? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge almost seems like a paradox. How can you know something that passes knowledge? But isn't that God? Oh, beloved, I hope and pray that we would spend time on these verses, on this prayer this week, and that we would meditate upon them and think about them in our relationship to Christ. And that we, with Paul, could pray this prayer. That God would grant us to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts with faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in love, that we might be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the height, the length, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that we might have the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do obediently. What a wonderful prayer. May God give us grace, we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel so insufficient. For Lord, that which we preached on this morning should have come from the voice of angels and not from weak mortal man. And yet, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would bless Your word to our hearts. That, Lord, we would be able, like Paul said, to comprehend with all saints this great and immeasurable love of Christ. Oh, dear God, help us, Lord God, in this day and age, that we would earnestly desire the fullness of this prayer in our own lives. Oh, Lord, we ask You, we beseech You, hear our prayers. Draw nigh to us, dear God, we pray. And let us draw nigh to You. Father, we love You and we thank You for all that You've given us in Christ. Thank You so much. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.